X-Files. So we're in our second week of X-Files, and we are, you know, it just seems like our world is just fascinated with things of the supernatural nature, of the paranormal world, you know, and we see it all through, like, our media. You see it on TV, everywhere from, like, Scooby-Doo, right, to the ghost hunters, you know, the ghost whisperer. You got the medium. And it goes to the big screen, even, like scary movies like The Exorcist. You guys remember The Old Exorcist? And we had The New Exorcist. And then you got Paranormal Activity 1, 2, and 3. And, I mean, it's like people can't get enough of this stuff. I don't know. I thought I heard something. You felt a cold spot? Over there, really? Just right here. Whoa. Whew. Freaky stuff. So you got scary movies. And then you've got, like, they do dramas about ghosts, like the movie Ghost, you know, where Patrick Swayze and Demi Moore, and they kind of bridge the gap between the dead and the living by making sweet pottery together. And then you got, like, Sixth Sense. Sixth Sense was another kind of drama thing. I'm up here. We're kind of having church here. I don't know. I hear something now. Do you hear that? It's probably those musician ears. It's not the normal ring I hear. But dramas like Field of Dreams. Many people wouldn't consider Field of Dreams a ghost story movie, but it is. It's exactly what it is. People are just, they're fascinated with this. Or even funny movies like Who You Gonna Call? Yeah, a favorite from those who were from the 80s. Movies like Beetlejuice. And so we really have a society that is just is inundated. They're fascinated with this. And so my question is, what does the Christian think about this? What is the Christian supposed to think about this? How should I look at these things? And if you would have asked me a couple weeks ago if I believed in ghosts, I would have told you absolutely not. I don't believe in ghosts. What a ghost is actually a demon that is harassing people by imitating the spirit of a dead person. That's what I would have told you a couple weeks ago. But things have changed for me. I learned something. Am I allowed to learn things? Is that all right? Okay. Because I'm always going to be learning stuff. The day I stop learning is the day I should stop teaching. My view on that. I should always be a student if I'm going to call myself a teacher. And so up until last week, that's what I believed. But then last week, as I started doing more and more research on demons, I started realizing what I taught you last week was that biblically, demons aren't seen. And I thought, wow, that kind of ruins my whole view on ghosts. And, you know, last week I'm sitting here thinking, oh no, I'm preaching about ghosts next week. And the whole premise for what I thought about like a year ago when we planned this series is gone. So I had to go back this week and just completely rethink it and restudy and reassess where I stand. And I had to ask myself the question, do ghosts really exist? What does the Bible have to say about that? Well, we're going to be talking about ghosts, we're going to be talking about aliens, we're going to be talking about witches today, and we're going to do so on three different levels, okay? The first level is just basic, how did I word that in here? Possible biblical thoughts on ghosts or aliens or witches, okay? So we're just going to explore some biblical thoughts that could happen, look at a couple different schools of thought on different things, and explore that a little bit. So let's have some fun. Okay, I call this candy. Sometimes we got to have some candy. You know, it's close to Halloween, so let's have some candy. You know, let's just learn some fun stuff. And then we're going to look at the truth, and that's kind of the one of the themes from the X-Files. The truth is out there. Okay, so we're going to look at the truth. And these are cold, hard facts. There are some things in the Bible that are, you know, they're subjective. They're things that you can argue about, and you can have this view or this view on the same passage of Scripture, but then there are other pieces where this is what the truth is, and you can't move it. And that's going to be that section, just the cold, hard truth. And then the last section is simply the bottom line. Here it is. We'll just lay it out. It is what it is. So possible biblical thoughts on ghosts. Read a couple of verses here, passages of Scripture, where in the New Testament the word ghost shows up. Both times actually involves Jesus. The first time is when Jesus is walking on the water, and the disciples get scared because they thought they saw a ghost. And they cried out because they saw him and they were terrified. And then Jesus spoke to him and he said, take courage, it is I, don't be afraid. Okay, that was one episode where the disciples thought that Jesus was a ghost. So we see the word ghost in the Bible. We'll come back to that. Another time that, this word shows up is in the after the resurrection, when they see the resurrected Christ and he appears to them. I'm going to read this one. Luke chapter 24, it says, while they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, peace be with you. They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw what? A ghost, a spirit. He said to them, why are you troubled? Why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I, myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see I have. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they still did not believe it, because of joy and amazement, he asked them, do you have anything here to eat? Hungry. Do you have anything here to eat? They gave him a piece of broiled fish and he took it and ate it in their presence. Now, as we look at these passages of scripture, those who believe that ghosts don't exist, which would have been my school of thought a couple weeks ago, they would look at these passages and they would say simply, just because the word ghost shows up in the Bible and the belief of ghosts in the Bible was in these two passages, it doesn't mean that ghosts are real. What it means simply is that the theory of ghosts extends back thousands of years. Okay, that's what that school of thought would say. The other school of thought, the people who say they believe in ghosts and they believe that the Bible supports ghosts, they would say to this that Jesus did not rebuke them in either case for having a false belief. Kind of interesting. He doesn't say, hey, you're not thinking right. There's no such thing as ghosts. No, in fact, in the second passage, the post-resurrected Jesus, when he talks to them, he's actually saying, here are ways that I'm not like a ghost, which seems a little more supportive of it. He says, touch me. Does a ghost have flesh and bones? No, but I do. I'm not a ghost. Give me something to eat. Watch this. I'll eat it. Ghosts don't eat. And so you can look at it both ways. You can say, well, don't believe in ghosts. Here's how I can support it with the same passage of scripture. I do believe in ghosts. Here's how I support it with this passage of scripture. Another passage of scripture is 1 Corinthians chapter 15 that some people will go to. Paul says, listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. Now, to those who are against the belief in ghosts, they would say that this understanding is that we're not going to sleep. To die is to be present with God. When we leave this body, we will be immediately present with God. And so this passage said, we're not all going to sleep. That's one way of looking at it. Those who believe in ghosts, they'd say, no, this passage says we're not all going to sleep because some will still be alive when the second coming of Christ happens. So it's saying that some people will sleep, be dead, and some people will be alive. So some people will be waiting for Christ's coming dead. Some people will be waiting for Christ's coming alive. Does this make sense? Difference in two? So they're saying, okay, since there is this in-between time, this sleep state, it could be possible. So the other side saying it can't be possible because there is no such thing as the sleep state. Actually, some of the theology on this side is a little more correct towards the understanding of not all will sleep. Another passage that's brought up in debates on this topic is a passage in the Old Testament where King Saul seeks a witch to bring back Samuel. How many of you guys ever heard of that story? Okay, some of you guys, it's going to be a new story. Okay, so I'll go on and tell the story. So Saul, who's the king, and he's turned away from God. God's turned away from him. He seeks God's answer on some things, and God's not talking to him. So Saul had, prior to this, he had expelled all of the mediums and spiritists and witches and whatnot. He had expelled them from the land. Well, he's not getting the answer from God. The prophet that used to give him advice, Samuel, he's not around anymore. He died. So Saul disguises himself, you know, puts on like a Groucho Marx, you know, nose and mustache. And so he goes on and he disguises himself and goes to this woman who is a witch to bring Samuel back from the dead. Now, when he does, he's disguised, says, hey, I want to speak to Samuel. And so she brings him up from the dead. And we're going to see her reaction, because her reaction is what is debated on here. In fact, both schools of thought, neither school of thought debates that Samuel actually came back from the dead and appeared to Saul. But I'll explain how each school of thought thinks about that. 1 Samuel chapter 28, it says, when the woman saw Samuel, she cried out at the top of her voice, I'm going to save you guys. I'm not going to imitate that. Okay, And so, because I could probably do it real well, but I'm not. Okay, so, and so she said to Saul, why have you deceived me? You are Saul. The king said to her, don't be afraid. What do you see? The woman said, I see a spirit coming up out of the ground. What does he look like? He asked. An old man wearing a robe is coming up, she asked. Okay, and then the verses following show that this really is Samuel that has been brought back from the dead. And he's speaking to Saul. Now, going back over on this side. Those who don't believe in ghosts, they would say that she is shocked and surprised because she was a fake. And this is the first time it's ever happened. And she's going, oh, I haven't seen this before. It's a dead man coming up out of the ground. This is freaking me out. And how was she a fake? Well, she could have been speaking to a demon that could have been giving her information about past loved ones because she had a reputation of being able to do this. Or she could have just been a really good con artist. Very possible. Those type of people exist, and there are people gullible enough to go and be conned by these type of people. So that is how they would explain that side. They'd say, well, she's shocked and surprised because she's never done this before, because I don't believe in ghosts and I don't believe she'd be able to talk to the dead, and et cetera, et cetera. The other side, they say, well, we believe that this supports that she really did do it because Saul went to her and sought her out because she had an expertise in this area. She had a reputation of being able to talk to the dead. She could bring up the dead. And her shock and surprise is not that she brought up a dead person, but that she did so, and somewhere in that, it revealed, Samuel revealed to her, or seeing something about Saul, somehow she was revealed, it was revealed to her, rather, that it was King Saul sitting in her presence. Now, Saul had expelled the mediums and the spiritists, like I told before. So this for her is really, really, really bad, because she's practicing her art of bringing the dead back and speaking to the dead in front of the king who just expelled all the people that could do this. So there's no question about, you know, so she's in trouble. So that's why she's shocked, because she discovers then that it's Saul that she's dealing with. So once again, another thing that you can look at, the people over here that don't believe in ghosts, they say that, well, this was a special occasion where God brought him back to speak through Samuel one last time, and to tell Saul what, you know, his days were numbered because of this very type of activity. And then the people over here saying that they believe in ghosts are saying, well, this is, you know, of course this was something God used, but it was something that she had done in the past. Another example is the transfiguration. Have you guys ever thought about it that way? If you guys remember up on the mountain, Jesus is transfigured. And then all of a sudden, who shows up with him? Do you guys remember? Moses? And Elijah. Moses and Elijah show up in this ghostly form. Transfiguration. Those who don't believe in ghosts, they say that this was a special occurrence that God allowed to happen. People that do believe in ghosts, they say, duh, ghosts. All right? So we got a chance to see a couple of different arguments on this. So let's kind of move on. And we'll be diving a little bit deeper into that, into ghosts. Let's move on to aliens. All right, let's take a breath. All right, just getting some candy here, some information, some trivia, some things you can maybe use at the water cooler. There are two different thoughts on this subject biblically, or at least that you can argue biblically, and they're pretty complicated. Okay, are you guys ready? You think you can handle it? Okay, here it goes. Two schools of thought. The Bible doesn't mention alien life forms on other planets, so they don't exist. Got it? Okay, the other school of thought. The Bible doesn't mention alien life forms on other planets, so they might exist. That's really the extent of it, people. That's really the extent of people's opinions on alien life form and the Bible supporting or not supporting it. That's where it stands. Now, it can get a little more complicated than that. I don't want to give you just a little, I want to give you a little more than that, just more than a little nugget. Some people will argue that in the creation of the world, if you look on day one, God created the heavens and the earth. Then God spent some time doing some things on earth. Day two, he does some things. Day three, and he's separating the water and the land, and he's making vegetation all over the land and all that. And then it isn't until day four that God makes the planets and the moons and the stars and all the rest of the universe. People will go to that, and I've been one of these type people, and they'll go to that and they'll say, well, this has got to be, you know, proof that there is no aliens anywhere, that there isn't life anywhere else, because God's focus was obviously earth. Even though I've done that argument, I have to admit it's a pretty weak argument. But it's an argument. It's something to share with you, something you might hear talking about that subject. Another thing around aliens that's pretty interesting is that others will say that people who have had UFO sightings, which are a little more believable or common than abductions, which are kind of weird and, you know, they're always some guy that's a little off anyway. Unless that's one of you guys, and then I'm really sorry. We'll sing the closing song now. No, okay. But anyway, so others will say that people who've seen UFOs, they actually haven't seen UFOs, but they've seen, you guys heard this? Angels. And let me give you something. I'm going to read this. It's not going to be up on the screen. I want you to picture in your head what a stereotypical UFO would look like. And I'm going to read this passage from Ezekiel while he's describing some angels and their movement. He says, thanks, it's right here. He says, I looked and I saw beside the cherubim four wheels, one beside each of the cherubim. Cherubim are a type of angel. The wheels sparkled like chrysolite. As for their appearance, the four of them looked alike. Each was like a wheel intersecting a wheel. As they moved, they would go in any one direction, any one of the four directions the cherubim faced. The wheels did not turn about as the cherubim went. The cherubim went in whatever direction they had faced without turning as they went. Skipping down, verse 13 says, I heard the wheels being called the whirling wheels. Down in verse 15, skipping a little more, it says, the cherubim rose upward. These were the living creatures I had seen at the Kebar River. When the cherubim moved, the wheels beside them moved. And when the cherubim spread their wings to rise above the ground, the wheels did not leave their side. When the cherubim stood still, they also stood still. And when the cherubim rose, they rose with them because the spirit of the living creatures was in them. Pretty interesting, his description of these circles and moving one way or the other, kind of sporadic and being able to change directions without having to worry about any kind of velocity change. It's kind of interesting. So that's what some people will say. I'm just kind of giving you some candy. Let's go on to witches, mediums, and spiritualists. Thoughts, possible thoughts. There are no possible thoughts on these characters. There's only truth on these characters when it comes to biblical precedent. So let's go on and flip that on over to the next section. The truth is out there. Truth is out there about witches, mediums, and spiritualists. Deuteronomy chapter 18, Old Testament, says, when you enter the land the Lord your God is giving you, do not learn to imitate the detestable ways of the nations there. Let no one be found among you who sacrifices his son or daughter in the fire, who practices divination or sorcery, interprets omens, engages in witchcraft or casts spells, or who is a medium or spiritist, or who consults the dead. Anyone who does these things is detestable to the Lord, and because of these detestable practices, the Lord your God will drive out those nations before you. You must be blameless before the Lord your God. Okay, so my question here is, we come across something very detailed in the Old Testament, is if these practices weren't real, why would God tell them not to do them? Okay, why would God tell them not to do something that wasn't possible to do? What sense would that make? Okay, if I were to stand here in front of you and I were to tell you, do not walk through that wall. Do not walk through that cinder block wall. Don't do it. You think I'm a nut. You think, you can't walk through this. Now, if I said, don't try to walk through the wall, you'll get hurt. That makes more sense. But that's not what God was saying in these verses. He's saying, do not practice, do not engage. He's using words like that, showing that there is a real existence of these things. They are real and they are detestable to God. Not only in the Old Testament, but also in the New Testament. Witchcraft is mentioned in a list of acts of the sinful nature that is found in Galatians chapter 5. Among a bunch of other acts of the sinful nature, witchcraft is right there. In Revelation chapter 21, it is also in a list of those, in a list of, these are the acts of people who will be thrown into the fiery lake of burning sulfur, the second death. And among those are people who practice the magic arts. So it's Old Testament and New Testament. The truth is out there, and here's the truth on witches, mediums, spiritists, etc. They are real. They are evil. White witches, Ouija boards, talking to the dead, Wicca, Wiccan, whatever you want to call it. It's real, it's evil. Biblical truth. Biblical truth on aliens. The truth is out there, and here it is. The Bible talks a great deal about extraterrestrial activity. Now, some of you are thinking, wait a minute, just a few minutes ago you said the Bible said nothing about alien life forms on other planets. Listen to what I'm talking about. The Bible talks a great deal about extraterrestrial activity. It does. It talks all about God, doesn't it? It talks about God coming to earth, God becoming a man, God, that's extraterrestrial activity on earth. It talks about the Holy Spirit. It talks about angels. That's extraterrestrial activity. And extraterrestrial is a being that exists outside of our earth, outside of our planet. Aside from that, the Bible does not speak of alien life forms on other planets. I already covered that, but I wanted you to go and write that down so you could take it home, know it, and you can look all you want, but it's not in there. It's just that plain and simple. So I want you to have a little bit of fun next time someone asks you if you believe in aliens, all right? You want to try and have some fun, all right? Water cooler conversation, conversation with someone, a family member, you know. They ask you, hey, do you believe in aliens? And I want you to ask them back and say, you mean do I believe in extraterrestrials? And they'll probably say, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. So absolutely, I believe in extraterrestrials. I do. I talked to one today. Just wait for their eyes to get big. Say, what? They're going to think you're, because, you know, they might have a belief in aliens, but now you're talking to them, huh? What? Yeah, I talked to one today. In fact, years ago, I gave my life to it. I gave my life to an extraterrestrial. They're going to think, man, you're crazy. You say, I worship this extraterrestrial. I do. I do whatever it tells me to do. And just try, because it can be a good conversation. And then you can open up and say, you know, I'm talking about God. And they might think, you know, I never thought of it that way. I never thought about God being an extraterrestrial. I never thought about him being an ET. But he is. He's the biggest ET you'll ever find. He's out of this world, is he not? That's the definition of extraterrestrial. So what about the truth about ghosts? Ghosts. As a general rule of thumb, don't mess with things that are dead. That's truth. That's biblical. The Bible speaks very plainly about not speaking to the dead. The Bible speaks very plainly about not messing with things that are dead. In the Old Testament, that made you spiritually unclean to be around a dead person, to touch a dead thing. Just don't do it. So that's the truth on that. General rule of thumb, don't mess with things that are dead. That should be common knowledge, but, you know, whatever. So whether or not you believe in ghosts or not, the Bible says clearly those things. Don't mess with things that are dead. Just don't do it. Some of you might be out here thinking, oh, I came to church this morning because I got a ghost in my house, and I was hoping the preacher was going to tell me how to get rid of the ghost in my house. Okay, if ghosts exist, which I'm kind of leaning that way after, you know, the past few weeks. If they exist, and if you have a ghost in your house, then for me, my belief in the past was that it was a demon. So now I'm kind of more relieved, which is kind of a weird feeling. So I'm like, oh, good. They're just dead people. So for years, I had always thought, you know, a ghost was a demon. But if they exist, and if you have one in your house, then here's what you do. You ready? Ask God to tell him to leave. You know the boss of the living and the dead. You know the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. You know him. You know him personally. And call him out. Say, God, I'm doing this out of respect to you. I'm not going to talk to the dead guy. I'm not going to ask him to leave because you've asked me not to talk to dead things. I'm obeying you and I'm going about it your way. I'm asking you to ask this person to leave for me because I don't like him here. Try it. Try it. Let me know what happens. I'm interested. I really am. Find out where I'm at there. So on general topics of ghosts, instead of wondering where our spirits are during this in-between time, it would be a whole lot more beneficial to be concerned with the final destination of our spirits. Because the truth is out there, and the truth is the eventual destination of our spirits will either be heaven or hell. That's truth. There's no question about that. There's no debating about that for Bible-believing Christians. So instead of worrying or wondering about the dead, shouldn't we be focusing on the living? Because they're spirits too. They're spirits with bodies. They're spirits who still have a choice on where they're going to spend eternity. Spirits who will either live forever in heaven or die forever in hell. And that takes us to the bottom line. See, the bottom line is that people are fascinated with ghosts, aliens, and things of the supernatural or paranormal world because we have an innate curiosity about God. We've got this peace inside of us that's a curiosity about, I wonder who God is. I want to get to know God. And not everybody knows that that's what that feeling is. And they get distracted by these different things. Because see, we want to seek out the supernatural world because God is a supernatural being. We want to seek out the paranormal world. Things that can't be, I mean, definition of paranormal is something that cannot be explained by the laws of science in our world. That's God. He's paranormal. Some of you guys are thinking, man, I've never thought about God in these ways. But you're seeking out. People are curious about these things. I believe it's an innate curiosity about who God is that drives us to look at these other things. And that can be dangerous. We seek out God, and we have this innate curiosity about extraterrestrials because that's what God is. He's outside of this world. He's smarter than we are. He's wiser than we are. He's more advanced than we are. I mean, isn't that what people want to find in aliens? It's really our innate desire to find God. God's a spirit. It's Holy Spirit that comes and lives inside of us. That's his form. At least his earthly form is in spirit. And people want to seek that out. And so they go through witches, or they go through spiritists, or they go through Ouija boards, or all these other things that are evil. When I believe that the innate desire, the core desire for that need, is to find the Spirit of God in your life. And that brings us to our last little point here. I should be careful that my curiosity doesn't take my mind off the real deal and settle for imitations. It's so easy to major in the minors. Done it myself. It's so easy to be thinking about ghosts and aliens, witches and spirituality and spiritual things and horoscopes, or, you know, different things that we think are borderline, when really, don't get distracted by those things. Don't settle for an imitation. We've got the real deal in front of us. We've got the real ET. We've got the real paranormal. We've got the real spirit that we have a chance to connect with. And it will have an eternal difference on our spirits, on our souls.